And it reads, I will walk among you, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Amen.
Amen. God is blessing us with some Bermudan weather. So we thank Brother Floyd for packing in his suitcase and bringing it with him. We appreciate it. Wonderful, wonderful. I love that song, you know, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Let me tell you, there's no other house I would want to reside in than this one. It's a real blessing to be a part of this congregation. This is my home. This is where I feel at home. This is where I feel comfortable. And, you know, just being with you all, every Lord's Day is just the best that you could possibly need to get you ready for the new week ahead. We are Christians. We teach the Word of God. We do not teach the Word of men. We encourage you to read the Bible passages and follow along. And if you have questions about anything that's said in any of our lessons or studies, we urge you to come and see us. If you want to know more, we encourage you to come and see us so that we can study with you and so that we can continue to share this wonderful, wonderful message. If you haven't seen yet, we have a new website. Thanks to Brother Gary, who did an incredible job. But we have a new website. It's a tool. You know, when you're out and about, you can share that with people. They can log on. They can find our meeting times, our locations. They can hear our lessons. We have links to sisters' materials from Sister Laverne. There's a lot of things on there that can be used as a tool, and so we're working on leaflets and a lot of other things that can be used as well, because we are a mission focused congregation. That is our goal. There's a lot of people in this city. We need to be reaching out and impacting this community and letting the people hear the Word of God. So and also, you know, go ahead and you can rewind the lessons, you can revisit the lessons, and if there's things that you're not sure about, you can revisit that. So go ahead and share that. Brother Gary has placed a link on the church group site. Click on it and feel free to share it. We've got nothing to hide, and we welcome people to link onto that if it will help them in their search for God. Because that's what we're doing, revealing God's message, God's amazing message. We read from Leviticus 26, verse 13. Now, one of the things that you'll find if you're a Christian, if you've given your life to Christ in baptism, if you've been born into Christ through that action that has taken place, you will understand that you've come from one place to another. So where you was, you're no longer there. You're in a new place. In other words, you've been delivered. You've been given freedom. Isn't it wonderful? You know, what a peace of mind. You know, I think of many times as a non-Christian where I spent many hours at night questioning life, feeling insecure, not knowing what life was about, unsure about my situation. But when I came to Christ, that changed everything, because then it brought some understanding to what life is truly about. You see, as a Christian, I know about eternal life. I know about salvation. I know about my loving God and what He has done for me. But here, in Leviticus 26, verse 13, this is what is said. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of yoke and made you walk erect. In other words, You people from where you have come from the bondage and the captivity, and of course we're talking about the Israelites way back in the captivity, had been set free by the power of God. They were set free from the bondage that they were in and delivered. They were placed on a journey to a promise of a better land. They were freed from that captivity. And so the Lord reminds them, who brought you out of the land of Egypt? Who was it? It was me. That you should not be their slaves. You see, God does not want his people to be enslaved. He never has, and he never will. And he doesn't want you to be enslaved by sin. He doesn't want you to be captive to the sin of this world. He wants you to be comforted in knowing that he has set you free. And if you have obeyed his message and obeyed his gospel, then just as he was talking with them, you can start to walk this journey with Christ. We've had conversations this week with Millie. She's heading off to Tanzania in Africa for 4 weeks. It's quite a nerve-wracking thing for a young girl, first time away for a month, building houses and digging wells and I don't know what, all kinds of things. But one of the things that I said to her was, the biggest comfort I have is, now that you are a Christian, I know that you have God with you. You have the Spirit of God. Because when you give your life to Christ and you're baptized in water, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he resides within you. So, though I'm not there, hey, that's no problem now. Because there's something far greater. The man who created, the God who created this universe, who created this planet, who sustains all things, he's your passenger. He's traveling with you. He will be your companion. And so we walk in such a way that we can live our lives with confidence and comfort, knowing that our goal is to seek to please him. Do you know, nearly everybody I've found in life who are going through insecurities and difficulties and struggles, from talking with them and spending time with them, I've discovered quite often it's because they've forgotten the fact that they've been delivered. They let go of the deliverance. You know, the Israelites, all through their journey, there were times when they were saying, oh, we may as well go back to Egypt and go back to captivity. It was better there. They forgot the deliverance. And so the God and creator of the world was constantly reminding them that, listen, I delivered you, walk in such a way. And so the life of Jesus explains how we need to live as Christians. You want to know how to live? Look at his example. It's amazing. What an example Jesus set. In every step that he took, every route that he had taken, it's already been said today, he gave everything. Everything. And he set a pattern for the people to follow. You see, just turning up here on a Sunday morning will not work. That's not a walk. That's not a walk. If I said to my family, we're going for a walk, and we all get our shoes and things on, and we go out, some say, well, I'll come on the walk, but I'm going to stay at home. You go without me. Well, no, you're not on the walk. This walk is something we have to do. And we can examine our lives, and we have to do that. I have to do that. Listen, I have to look at my life every day. Every day. What am I doing? What is my direction? Am I going where God wants me to go? Am I doing the things he wants me to do? And quite often I realise, oh, I need to make some changes again. This thing's not quite right. You see, Jesus' entire life was a demonstration, an example to how we live as Christians. And so our Christian salvation, through being set free from that captivity, we are placed on a journey, and we can look to him and see how to live. In John 2:6, what does it say? It says, he who says he abides in me ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's powerful. You think about that. small verses like that sometimes, you know, I can think of times you just read through it. What's he saying? If you were saying to everybody that you abide in me, if you're telling the world that you were a Christian, if you're telling the world that you were saved, well, you ought yourself, you need to walk just like Jesus walked. And if you cannot do that, don't profess to be who you are not. He who, that is anyone and everyone who says he abides. The bands of yoke are broken. So we need to start walking just as he walked. That was the message to the Israelites. That was the message that he set to the Israelite people. I set you free. You're on a journey. You need to walk. And there are days when the Israelites said, Lord, we've had enough. Our feet are hurt. We're tired. We're hot. We're hungry. We don't like this food. It's just manna. We don't like it. We want something different. We want different things. This journey is too hard. And listen, we live in a land. We live in a blessed land. Do we not? We have everything we need. We eat good food. Roofs over our heads. Employment. Education. We can go and get help and medication if we need it. We can all get prescription medication. We can go and get anything that we need. You see, we live in a land that is blessed. And yet quite often, we're still not satisfied. And there are these Israelites walking along and saying, we haven't got these things, and still, what does he say to them? You need to walk just as I walk. 33 years, you know, 33 years that Jesus lived on this earth. He never pleased himself once. Not once. We've spoken of this in Bible studies and on many occasions, both Brother Gary and myself, and I've heard others mention this as well, that Jesus never did a thing to benefit himself. Not once. You find a place in the Bible where Jesus took care of just himself. And the example we used, of course, was the woman at the well. And Jesus had been travelling with his disciples and they were hungry. And he sent them to go and get the food. He said, go into the village, go into the town, get the food and bring it back. We're talking about the one who can pick up a stone and turn it into bread. We're talking about the one that can, you know, that can literally make one fish into multiple fish. And one loaf of bread into a banquet that will feed thousands and thousands of people. And he says to his disciples, I'm hungry. Let's go get some food. And he sends them off. Could you live one month not pleasing yourself? Ask yourself that question. Could you live one month without once pleasing yourself? Or could you live one week, maybe one day, without pleasing yourself? 33 years was the example that he set. And it's written and recorded in the inspired word so that we can pick it up and learn that we need to be like him or we just become selfish people. You see, Romans 15:3, for even Christ did not please himself, for as it is written, that's what I've said, it is written for our benefit, Romans 15:3, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. What an amazing example. I've heard people come to me and say, Paul, this Christian life's tough. Keep me through all these problems and I don't seem to get away from them. They won't leave me alone. What I've learned in my life as a Christian, probably more so over the last few years, from speaking with wise people, speaking with people who have been through the life experiences, the problems in your life will not go until you go through a major change. There has to be changes. There has to be changes. If there are problems in your life, what changes are you going to make them better? You know, we live in a world where we seek our name. Look at Facebook today, you know, all pictures of me, individuals, you know, and we all over the Facebooks, seeking names, seeking desires. What does it say in the Bible? It said, walk erect and different to the rest of the world. You see, when you're walking through this city, brethren, the world needs to see you stand out. They need to see you stand out. I often refer, and I know I refer to him a lot, but Brother Bonter in India, he's such a dear, dear brother and friend of mine, very dear preacher, wonderful man, does some incredible work. And this man, no matter what he faces in his life, he walks erect. He stands strong and preaches the word. His food comes second, the gospel comes first. You give him some money, he'll feed the hungry. You know, he had money to build a house, he built a church. Built a church building. His house is a building site, it's got no roof. When it rains, in the rainy season, the rain cascades downstairs, and he stands erect and preaches the word of God. That's how we need to be. Seeking not our own desires. Walk erect and different to the rest of the world, then the world will know you are different. They will see Christ in you. Because you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow. It's the best way to be. It's Jesus' example. It's a God-centered gospel as opposed to a man-centered gospel. And we live in a world today where it is very much a man-centered gospel. I think just this week, Brother Gary and myself, and we discussed this in one of the classes, that, you know, people today, they preach prosperity. You see, they don't want to tell you the bad news. They want to tell you the good news. And so people come to church and say, well, I'm here, what are you offering me? What's in it for me? Well, you stay here and give yourself to Christ, say a prayer and you'll be saved, and listen, your business will do really well, and your children will do well in their education, and your finances will pour in, and your bank accounts, you've got stocks and shares, they're going to do great. Prosperity. Everything's going to be great. You'll never be ill. You'll never go through suffering. What about the truth? I'm going to teach you a message of salvation. It's going to bring you to an eternal life. But listen, this journey will be tough. And what you have to do is walk erect and upright, just like Jesus Christ did, and the world will see that you are different. And that is how you will make a difference. The simplest thing we do on earth every day is eat and drink. It's the simplest thing. Every day, I get up in the morning, I take a drink quite often, I don't think about it. I go home and my wife's prepared a meal, and I sit down and we give thanks and I eat it. But I don't really think about it. He says that everything we do to the glory of God. Do you know that? Every sip of water, to the glory of God. Every step that we take, to the glory of God. Everything in our lives, to Him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. You see, the Israelites, when they were set free from the captivity, God was saying, follow my way, follow my law. And that was the pattern to which they was set out on this journey. And then we look at the example of the Old Testament, and then we see in the New Testament the freedom that we are given to make choices in our life. And these choices that are laid out in Scripture, we are given the examples to follow and the pattern to live our Christian lives and conduct ourselves. Well, if I have to do all to the glory of God, then that means our jobs, our homes, our marriages, our choices, our speech, how we conduct ourselves in the community. Everything we do is to the glory of the Most High, because He has set us free and freed us. So we have to be like Jesus Christ. I have to learn that I've got to start thinking how He thinks. That's difficult, because you know that you cannot always meet the measure. How am I going to do that? What would Jesus do here? What would He do? Can I react the same way? Can I deal with this in the same way? When things are going wrong in my life, can I stand erect and tall? You know, I think I've used this example before, but you know, imagine you've got a cut on your hand. You get a cut on your hand and it's infected, and so I go into my house and say, "Hey Janet, I've got a cut on my hand, it's infected." She goes, "No problem." And she sticks a bandage on. And 2 weeks later, I take the bandage off and say, "Well, there's still an infection and it's got worse." And she goes, "Yeah, but I'll put another bandage on it, another plaster on it." You can't see it. And that's it. And sometimes, you know, even that wound might just heal over. But the problem is that the infection is still inside. And so I go in and say, "Hey, Jan, I've cut my hand, it's infected. You need some antibiotics. You need something that will kill the root of the problem." And so we need to apply the thinking of Jesus Christ in our life. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Philippians 2 and verse 5. That is our mindset. That is our focus. Having the same attitude as He had. The very same attitude. His mind was, he had no selfishness, he had no pride. Imagine that, the Son of God on this earth, and he was walking around like a common. And that is the attitude that we need to have in our lives. So we're on this journey. We need to make changes. We need to get rid of things. Brother Gary this morning in our lesson in Matthew, the two roads, the two gates. Those two gates. And we want to go through the wide gate, don't we? Because we want to take everything with us. I don't want to let go of things. I don't want to let go of my hobbies. I don't want to let go of my career, maybe, or maybe families. I don't want to let go of these things. Well, God says these things will hinder your eternal life. And so you hang on to these things on this earth. That's your freedom of choice to do so. But do not expect to get through the gate. You will not make it, because the gate to eternal life is narrow. And so he says in his word, I'm trying to explain to you, he says, I want you to understand that in order to have eternal life, you have to lose the baggage. We've got to lay these things down. We've got to put them aside. And it's not easy. But we have to do it. We have to do it to get through the gates. This is the journey we are on. You know, the Israelites, when they were set free from captivity, they were carrying nothing, the things they had. Just a few bits and pieces that they had. Everything was left back in Egypt. Everything was left back in the homes that they were in. During that captivity, they left with nothing. And they had to learn to travel that journey with the minimum. They had to learn that. They had to learn every day, we want more. We've been in captivity, we want more. No, you cannot have more. You have to let things go. And so, including the things that we let go, we have to get rid of the thinking like men. Like the thoughts of the world become your priority. Gossiping, talking against one another, getting angry, attitudes, how we react in the community. You know, it's very important that we examine our lives In 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody, or other people's matters. That always intrigues me, that passage. Where does the busybody come from? Yeah? Hang on a minute, we're talking about a murderer here, we're talking about a thief, we're talking about somebody who steals your possessions, we're talking about somebody who kills another human being. We're talking about evildoers, we'll think of evildoers, you know? Or as a busybody, he throws that one in other people's matters. Murders, thieves, evildoers, and busybodies. You know what I've learned, and I'm learning every day, it's the little things that matter. It's those tiny little things that matter. And they sometimes can be the hardest things to overcome. You know why? Because we put them down in they don't really matter category. They're not that big a deal. But our God said, hey, they are a big deal. A good example, you know, the Ark of God that they used to carry around. So the Levites would carry the Ark of God. The Ark of God was a sacred part of worship, very special. There was a special way in which it was handled, and it was handled according to the will of God. And no one was allowed to open it, touch it, or look inside it. It contained the commandments, it contained the manna, it contained Aaron's rod, and it was stored in a place called Beth Shemesh. And I love this passage. I want you to listen to this in 1 Samuel 6 and verse 19. You want to know how serious God takes his law? 1 Samuel 6 verse 19, it says, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh, that's where the ark was stored, because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck 50,070 men of the people, and the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. Why did God slaughter those people? He slaughtered them because they peeked into his ark. They peeked into his ark. I just took a little look. Look at the result of that sin. That is how serious God takes violation of his law. That is why we need to examine our lives daily. These people didn't commit adultery, they didn't steal, they didn't do anything. What we say is serious. But the lesson is that whatever violates the law of God in the eyes of God is serious. Even peeking into something that God says, do not do. And so it's important, you know, when we live our lives as Christians, when we become Christians, this journey takes a lot of care. And that is why this is a family. Because I need you. And I hope you need me. You know, we need to travel this journey together. And there's going to be days when we're going to find these little things going on in our lives. And I'm going to need one of my brothers or sisters to come and tap me on the shoulder and say, Paul, I've noticed something. It's one of those small things, but it's going to cost you your salvation. And it is those things that I need to be able to work on in my life as you do in your life as well. So stop looking at yourself. Don't have the mind of men. It doesn't matter. That's the minds of men. We are the body of Christ. It does matter. It does matter. Everything in our life matters. Every step we take. I want you to picture this life like a road strewn down with nails. And you're bare feet, and you've got to step around all of those nails to get through this journey. That is the focus and concentration that is needed. And you know many fail because their minds are occupied with being involved in things of the world. that it takes away their salvation. There's no room for God because my time is consumed with the world. So make room in your mind for God. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:27. This is in one of the letters. He says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, we can claim the name Christian and be living the life of the world. And that will cost us our salvation. Again, today, Brother Gary has brought that to our attention. It was in our Bible class. We've been taught that today. That means we have no excuse because we've been told today. It's been brought to our attention. And so we need to discipline ourselves. You know, sports people discipline themselves. You're going on a diet, you have to discipline yourself. You want to get fit, you've got to discipline yourself. Universities and colleges, we discipline ourselves, do we not? We want to get through the exams. But what about our Christian life? If our Christian life is cast aside, then our mindset is the world only. And though I encourage young people to seek your education, go do the best you can, the very best, I encourage you to understand that this life on this earth is a short journey, and we need to bring ourselves into a disciplined way of living. In order, just as Paul says, I am going to discipline myself. He trains his mind to give it what it needs and not what it wants. And that's very important. You see, what do we want in life? I want my big house, or I want my TV, or I want this car, or I want this holiday. That's the world's mindset. It's okay to see things like this. It's okay with the right mindset. You know, what's your house for? It's for God. I'm going to use it for God. And maybe God still won't grant you that house. But we need to set our minds in such a way, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which is was also in Christ Jesus. And so, brethren, the lesson today, I want to encourage you. Look at where you was before accepting. If you're a Christian, I want you to look at where you was and see where you are. But don't be content with that. That will not give you eternal life. We then have to start this journey. When the Israelites were freed from captivity, when they were set free from Egypt, what would have happened if they just stood and said, well, we're out. Captivity, now they just stood there. It wouldn't get them to the promised land. They had to start the journey. And so I want to encourage you. We can change our lifestyles. We can change our ways. Because God has given us the freedom to do that. But only while we're on this earth. Just as the ark, when the ark that Noah built was there. Anybody could have got into that ark. But they had to have the mindset to go and do it. And that is what I want to encourage you today. If you are a Christian and you're struggling, let me encourage you that this could be the turning day today. This could be the day that could turn this around. If you're not a Christian, if you're not giving your life to Christ, let me encourage you to do that. Listen, we have got access to a baptistry. It's just a place with water that we can use to immerse you. We could go down the rivers, and they're probably not too clean. We can find a swimming pool. We've got access to a baptistry. We can go down and open the door and walk in and use it if we need to. We've got the means of doing that, but it has to be done with your mind saying it's time for me to change. I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And so through that, through hearing his word and through that acceptance of that word and believing and confessing him and repenting and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins and coming up out of that, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just as we said to me, as you start that journey overseas, you now go with God as your travelling companion. God will travel this journey with you also, if you're willing to let him. I pray that God will bless you and continue to watch over you. Let's sing the invitation.